Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
And I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
Richard, you know what today is?
No.
It's the last day of November.
Oh,
November 30th, 2016. Tomorrow is it. Tomorrow is the first day of December and...
Christmas season is upon us.
Well, according to stores, it's been on us... Upon us since Halloween.
Right.
But no, tomorrow is December, but today is the last day of November, so we need to use every day for all that we can use it for, right?
If you had to finish it in November,
today's the day.
You got a few hours left.
That's right.
Okay.
Today we're going to respond to a letter from a listener, all still within the realm of the topics of challenges and conflicts in relationships. And this letter really fits right in with what we're talking about and kind of goes into some of the things we're going to talk about over the next couple of days. But there's something in this letter that we want to really focus on. But here's a letter, and it's from...
Yeah, it really raises a really important issue in this letter.
And this is from... he just identifies himself as Frustrated Father.
Okay.
I used to see that in... You know, the letters in the newspaper and stuff like that.
Right.
Dear Abby and all that kind of stuff. And people would write, you know, aggravated mother and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, that's interesting. And now that's what
now
we get.
Getting them,
we
right?
get that so often. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is from Frustrated Father. He writes, I've had it! Exclamation point.
Ooh.
It's never good when it starts off that way. I've had it. I listened to your podcast from last week and nothing is working. My wife and I don't communicate. We rarely spend time together. And we are basically living life as roommates. I want to be happy, and I'm not, and neither is she. I have to admit that divorce is a very attractive option for me right now, but I'm staying in it for the kids. How do I cope with my frustration in the midst of these problems? Well, that's a great question. And again, we're going to kind of talk about some of that stuff over the next few days. But really what we want to focus on for this podcast is the issue of staying in it for the kids.
Okay.
Because... We hear that all the time.
You hear it all the time.
All the time. People say, you know, well, we're just going to hold out until the kids are 18 and then, you know, then we'll separate or then we'll figure out what we're going to do from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of concerns about that. I have a lot of hesitations when people say that because usually the reason that they're choosing to stay together for the kids isn't... A good enough reason to overcome some of the problems that they're having. Does that make sense?
No. No, it...
That's it, Richard.
No, it's a huge... I mean, we hear it all the time. I'm going to stay in the relationship for the children.
Right.
It really depends. I mean, what threw me with this letter was when he said, I've had it.
Right. Okay? Just that first...
Because I don't... You know, you have to assume that maybe he's already leaning out of the relationship. When we say we're going to stay in it for the children, there are a couple of broad issues. One is, what are they going to be seeing? Because your children are going to internalize what they see.
Right.
I mean, we internalize our parents.
Right.
Like it or not, we internalize our parents.
Right.
And if they're seeing anger, if they're seeing lack of communication, all the things that he outlines there, they don't communicate, they don't spend time together, they're living as roommates, that's what your children are going to learn how to do.
Right.
So you're not, if you can't change your present circumstances, if you can't solve these problems, I'm not sure that it's going to be in the best interest of your children for them to learn how to be the same kind of spouse you are.
Right. And I think that's what I was referring to of about the nature of the circumstances. Because the problem is that most people who make that kind of attempt to stay together for the sake of the children is because their idea is to... save their children from the conflict and the confrontation and the problems associated with divorce itself. And what we find is that when we decide to stay together for the kids, the things that the kids tend to observe are often more damaging than what the divorce would
That's
be.
That's right. Right.
If they're hearing arguing all the time, if they're seeing two individuals who live life very separately, if they are living in such a situation where there's the conflict and constant resentment and the frustration and all of those things. As you said, you are what they model, what they're going to model themselves after. So if that's the type of husband that you are, then your son is going to probably become that kind of husband.
Probably going to be very much like you.
If you're that type of wife, then your daughter is going to emulate that type of wife. And and what's more is that they're going to look for partners that represent and mirror, you know, your partner. Right. And so the issue is that many times what we're modeling for the kids becomes the greater issue.
Right.
And so in those circumstances, many times separation may cause less damage than staying together.
That's right. It may be better. Your children may be in a happier place if they see each of you separately. I would rather my children see me as a single father, a happy single father, and we can enjoy each other's time. We can enjoy our time together rather than as an unhappy husband.
Right.
You know, so you have to weigh these things. Now, if in getting a divorce, you plunge the family into poverty, you know, because now you have two households and you have to maintain two houses, you know, that's another consideration. But I suspect that in most cases, if you're at your wit's end with your relationship, that staying in it is probably not going to be in the best interest of the children.
Right.
Unless you are the type of person who can put all of those things aside and not let them become issues. You can put your unhappiness aside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can put your anger aside. You can put your resentment aside. And many people do that. I mean, many people just pretend that everything is okay for the sake of the children.
And many more people think that they're doing that, but they're not.
Yep.
And so when I can't tell you how many times I've talked to a kid who says that, they'll make statements about their parents and the parents will say, oh, well, that's because dad does this. Or, oh, no, my kids don't know anything about that. And you talk to the kids and they know everything about it. And you say, well, how do you know? Well, it's not like I can't hear things. It's not like, you know, they're living in their room and that's insulated and they can't hear anything that happens outside of the room. Because parents will say, well, we wait until the kids go to bed or we wait until they're not around.
It doesn't matter.
They still know.
Because if they see you together and you're not speaking,
right.
if they don't see you together, or if they see you together and you're not communicating, they're still seeing two individuals, you know. And the other thing to remember is that when you say you're doing it for the children, and the children know that.
Right.
Then it becomes their responsibility.
Right.
You know,
that's the other issue.
You're imposing that on them. It's that my parents hated each other, but they stayed together because of me. I'm not sure that's a gift that you want to give your children.
Right. And again, you know, parents' reaction to that will be, well, we don't say that to them. But it doesn't matter. They know.
Right.
And if they know, then
If they're over age 8 or 9,
they're aware of that.
They're going to know. Now, little kids, they may not realize it.
Right.
But if they're over the age of 8 or 9, your children are going to know these things.
Right. And so when it comes to that, and again, we'll kind of talk about some of this later on this week. When you're dealing with separations, the idea is that if you can separate amicably, if you can separate in a healthy way, very often, that's great. That works out very well. Not great, but it works out better for the kids than it would if you are trying to force it and you're trying to fake it. Because as hard as you try to hold it in, as hard as you try to, you know, put that stuff aside, there will be a time that you had a rough day at work and you come home and you just can't. You don't have the willpower to contain it. And it comes out. And then, you know, they could see it and they experience it. And like you said, they internalize it and then it becomes part of their reality. And again, we're not sure that that's really what you want to happen with your kids.
Right. And if you're really, and I think of this man who signs it, frustrated father, if he's really frustrated and angry and unhappy, if in leaving the marriage makes you satisfied and happy and a happier person for your children, then you may want to consider leaving to work this out so that you're happier. If you leave and you're still miserable and unhappy and angry, you've accomplished nothing.
Right.
Okay. So so be careful when you move to that other place, when you do separate or divorce, that it is really going to make you a happier, more contented, more satisfied person.
Right. And again, this comes back to, and I feel like I say it in every episode, again, it's going to come back to communication. If you're not happy and your spouse isn't happy, you know, he says this, you know, I'm not happy and neither is she. Right. If neither of you are happy, to sit down and say, hey, look, obviously neither of us are very happy right now. This doesn't look like it's going to work out.
That's right.
So how do we do this in the best way, in the least destructive way?
That's right.
So that we can take care of our kids, meet our responsibilities with them, and allow them to have a happy, healthy childhood without without more conflict.
Now, having said all that, if you're both unhappy, if you are both truly unhappy and both of you would like for the marriage to be over, you can mediate a divorce.
Right.
I mean, if you truly are both unhappy, you can mediate a divorce. However, if you're leaving because you want to be with somebody else,
right,
that's probably not going to be a mediated divorce. Somebody's going to be angry,
right,
and you're going to go through a difficult divorce. And remember that you're going to have to explain that to your children as well, that you left their mother for somebody else. So be careful when you make these decisions and why you're leaving, number one. Is it mutual?
Right.
Okay. Why are you leaving, number one? Is it mutual, number two? And what is life going to look like after you leave and are on your own?
Yeah.
So there are you know, a number of important considerations, not just we're both unhappy.
Yeah. And again, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail later this week. So, all right. So really, I guess the bottom line and the ultimate message here is, you know, really think twice if you're thinking that you're maintaining the relationship for the sake of the children, because it doesn't always result in what we think that it will result in. So we need to really consider that and then make decisions accordingly. So
exactly.
All right. So we'll be back tomorrow morning with another challenging set of topics that we're going to and issues that we're going to deal with relationships. And but I hope that you have a great day today, because today is what's the most important thing right now.
Do well today.
That's right. So, all right. So we'll see you in the morning. Have a great day.
Good day.
All right. Bye-bye.